Imagine it's like 2 in the morning on a Friday. A massive new code deployment just went out for your company's flagship app, and suddenly the red lights flash.
Oh, man.
Right. Your automated tests have failed. The entire release is halted. Did the whole application actually break? Like, did the database crash? No. A loading spinner on the login page just took one single millisecond too long to disappear, and your testing bot completely panicked. Welcome to the absolute nightmare of modern web testing.
Yeah, it is the reality that keeps quality assurance engineers awake at night. I mean, testing modern applications is, it's no longer just about clicking a button and checking a box.
No, far from it.
Yeah.
And that brings us to our mission today. Welcome to this deep dive into the source material, custom tailored for the learner out there who needs a jargon-free shortcut to understanding the biggest battle in web automation today. We are unpacking this comprehensive 2026 guide from Playwright Masters titled Playwright versus Selenium: Complete Comparison for Automation Testing. The goal here is simple. By the end of this conversation, you will know exactly which framework you should adopt or learn or champion this year without having to drown in thousands of pages of technical documentation.
Yeah, it's arguably the most critical technical decision the testing team can make right now. We're looking at two massive heavyweights, and they don't just offer different features. They represent, like, entirely different philosophies on how to get a machine to reliably behave like a human being on the internet.
Right, so let's unpack this, because going through this 2026 guide, I realized we need a way to visualize this architectural divide. Think about it like real estate.
Okay.
If you're trying to automate a browser, going with Playwright feels like buying a fully furnished, ultra-modern smart home. Everything is built in from day one.
Yeah.
You know, the security system, the climate control, the appliances, they're all integrated into the walls. But Selenium, well, Selenium feels like buying a flawless, standardized, incredibly strong concrete foundation. You get this perfect, indestructible base, but you are the general contractor.
Yes.
You have to go out and build the custom house you want using whatever third-party tools or timber and wiring you prefer.
Exactly. If we connect this to the bigger picture, that analogy perfectly captures the core architectural clash. And we can sum up that clash in basically one sentence. Selenium was built for a web of static documents, while Playwright was built for a web of living applications.
Oh, I like that. But what does that actually mean under the hood? Like, when we say Selenium is a foundation, how is it actually talking to the web browser?
So Selenium relies on something called the W3C WebDriver standard. Now, for our listeners who might not be deep into the weeds on browser architecture, think of WebDriver like a standardized post office.
Okay.
When your Selenium test wants to click a button, it writes a letter. Basically an HTTP request. It sends that letter to the browser driver. The driver reads it, translates it into something the browser understands, executes the click, and then sends a letter back saying task complete.
Wait, so it's translating, sending over a network protocol, receiving, translating again, and then reporting back?
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds inherently slow. I mean, why did we build it like a post office to begin with?
Because it is a universal standard.
Yeah.
The W3C WebDriver standard is agreed upon by Google and Apple, Mozilla, Microsoft. It ensures that every single browser speaks the exact same fundamental language.
Oh, I see.
It's incredibly stable and universally recognized. But you are absolutely right about the speed and the overhead. It is a very transactional back and forth way to communicate.
Which brings us to Playwright's smart home, right? How is Playwright talking to the browser if it's not using the post office?
Well, Playwright throws out the post office entirely. It uses a direct WebSocket connection.
Oh, okay.
Instead of sending letters back and forth, Playwright hands a two-way walkie-talkie directly into the browser's brain.
What?
Yeah, it taps directly into the browser's internal event loop. It knows exactly what the browser is doing at the exact millisecond it happens without waiting for a translated HTTP response.
So because Playwright has this walkie-talkie wired directly into the browser, it can react much faster to what's happening on the screen.
Exactly.
And that transitions us perfectly to the single biggest headache we mentioned at the start of the show, the dynamic web.
Yes, modern single-page applications, things built with React or Vue, Angular, they are the entire reason testing has become so complex.
Right, because you click a button on a modern app, and the page doesn't just reload like it did in 2010. You click, an animation slides in, a skeleton loader pulses, data is quietly fetched from a server somewhere, and then eventually a new text box appears.
Right.
If your automated script clicks the first button and immediately tries to type into that new text box, this script just crashes because the box doesn't exist yet.
And historically, the way engineers solved this in Selenium was by writing explicit waits. They would literally write code that said, pause the test for 5 seconds, then try to type.
Which is how you end up with tests that take 3 hours to run.
Exactly.
But the source material highlights that Playwright handles this with something called auto-waiting. How does that actually work mechanically?
Think of it using a restaurant analogy. A traditional automation script is like a blindfolded waiter.
Mm-hmm.
They walk up to your table exactly 5 minutes after you order, and they drop the plate of food on the table, regardless of whether you've actually sat down yet.
A messy failure.
Right. If you aren't there, the food hits the floor. The test fails.
Mm.
But Playwright's auto-waiting is like a waiter who was standing across the room just watching you.
Okay.
Because of that direct WebSocket connection we talked about, Playwright actively monitors the elements on the page. Before it clicks a button, it runs a checklist. Is the button attached to the page? Is it visible? Is it stable, meaning like the animation has stopped?
Right.
Is it actually able to receive events? It waits exactly as long as it needs to, and not a millisecond longer, before interacting.
Here's where it gets really interesting, and honestly, where I have to push back a bit on this guide.
Okay.
Because even if we're waiting for the right moment, we still have to tell the tool what to click. We use locators for that.
Yeah.
The guide shows that Selenium lets you just grab an element by its underlying HTML ID. You write something incredibly short, like by .id login. It's clean, it's fast.
Sure.
But Playwright pushes engineers toward these much longer user-facing roles. You have to write something like get viral button name login. I'm looking at that thinking, isn't shorter always better when you're writing thousands of lines of test code? Like, why write a full sentence when you can just use an ID?
It is a very tempting trap to fall into, I'll admit. A shorter locator feels more efficient, but it's actually a massive liability if it's fragile. Yeah, let's look at a real-world scenario. A front-end developer goes into the code base to refactor some components. They decide the HTML ID login is outdated, and they change the underlying code to submit auth.
Ah, I see where this is going.
Right. If your test was relying on that by .I login, that test just broke, the pipeline stops, the deployment is halted, and an engineer has to go in and figure out what went wrong.
Wow.
But here is the kicker. The website itself works perfectly fine. A human user going to the site still just sees a button that says log in and clicks it. The human doesn't care about the HTML ID.
So the test failed not because the app was broken, but because the test was relying on invisible code structure instead of the user experience.
Precisely. Playwright's locator system is highly opinionated. It wants you to find elements exactly how a human being would find them, by their accessible role and the text on the screen.
Right.
If a developer rewrites the entire back end of the page, but that button still functions as a button and still says login, the Playwright test continues to pass. It drastically reduces your maintenance burden.
That makes total sense. You're trading a few extra keystrokes up front for hundreds of hours of saved maintenance down the road.
Exactly.
But obviously, even with auto-waiting and robust locators, tests are still going to fail eventually. A database will go down or a real bug will be introduced. And when tests fail, we have to transition from writing them to debugging them.
And debugging automated tests running on remote servers is notoriously difficult.
Mm.
Usually you just get a log file with a red X and a cryptic error saying element not found.
But before we even get to the failure, I have a question about the setup. Because setting up a test environment is where I see engineers pulling their hair out. Let's say you have an e-commerce dashboard and you need to run 50 different tests on it.
Okay.
Traditionally, your script has to open the browser, type the username, type the password, click submit, and wait for the dashboard to load 50 separate times. So what does this all mean for the actual workflow? How does Playwright get around the dreaded login 50 times to run 50 tests problem?
It fundamentally changes the workflow through something called browser context.
Wait, let me stop you there. Because I've used Selenium in the past, and if I didn't want to log in 50 times, I would just try to clear my cookies between tests or try to manage the session state manually. Why is a context a whole new paradigm? How is it different from just clearing cookies?
That is a fantastic distinction to make. Clearing cookies in a traditional browser automation session is messy. The browser still holds on to local storage, session storage, cached memory, and background service workers.
Oh, right.
To get a truly clean slate in Selenium, you historically had to kill the entire browser process, literally shut down Chrome, and boot up a brand new instance of Chrome for the next test. Booting up a browser binary takes seconds. Multiply that by thousands of tests and you're wasting hours.
Okay, so booting a full browser is heavy. What is a context doing instead?
A browser context is like having a lightweight, completely isolated browser profile operating within a single open browser instance. It is engine-level isolation. You boot up Chromium once, then you create a context. You log into your application once within that context. Playwright then captures that exact authenticated state, the tookies, the memory, the local storage, and saves it as a tiny JSON file.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for your next 50 tests, Playwright just instantly spins up fresh, empty contexts and ejects that saved state into them in milliseconds.
Wow, so the tests start instantly, already logged in, without ever having to boot up the heavy browser binary again.
Instantly. You can even run a test where one context is logged in as an administrator and another context in the exact same script is logged in as a guest, and they can interact with each other in real time.
That is a massive workflow upgrade. But let's get back to the inevitable failure. The script fails at 2 a.m. The guide highlights the Playwright Trace Viewer as the ultimate debugging tool. What makes it so special?
Well, when a test fails in Playwright, you don't just get a text file with an error. If you have tracing enabled, you get a full interactive visual record of the entire test run. And we aren't just talking about a video recording or a few screenshots. It captures DOM snapshots.
For the learner who might be newer to the architecture, a DOM snapshot isn't just a picture, right?
Correct. The DOM, the document object model, is the underlying structure of the web page.
Mm.
A DOM snapshot is like a frozen 3D model of the code at that exact millisecond.
Oh, I see.
You can literally scrub back and forth through a timeline of your test and inspect the actual HTML, CSS, and network requests that were happening right before the test failed.
That's incredible.
Yeah, you can see exactly what API calls were hanging, what the console log said, and where the code broke. It completely eliminates the mystery of a failed run in a CI pipeline.
And speaking of API calls, that brings up another historical pain point. Let's say I want to test the checkout button on a shopping cart. In a traditional UI test, my robot has to go to the homepage, click register, fill out a form, click search, find a product, click add to cart, and then finally test the checkout button.
Yeah.
I'm wasting minutes clicking through the UI just to set up the conditions for my test. How does Playwright bypass that?
By understanding that UI testing and API testing no longer need to be separated. Historically, QA teams had to use a tool like Postman or Rest Assured to test their backend APIs, and a completely separate tool like Selenium to test the UI frontend. They were written in different languages and lived in different repositories.
Getting them to talk to each other was nearly impossible.
It was incredibly disjointed. Playwright merges them into a single tool set. Using Playwright's API request context, you can write a test that instantly pings your backend server to create a test user, instantly injects a product into their cart via the API, and then instantly loads the shopping cart UI in the browser.
Wow.
Yeah, you bypass all the slow, flaky UI clicks of the registration and search process, and only use the browser to test the actual checkout button.
So you're using the speed of the API to set up the state and the browser to verify the visual result.
Exactly. It treats the front end and the back end as two sides of the same coin.
Okay, I'm listening to all of this, and I'm putting myself in the shoes of an engineering manager. Playwright has this direct WebSocket connection for auto-weighting. It pushes for robust, human-centric locators. It has instant state injection with isolated contexts.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you 3D frozen snapshots for debugging. And it seamlessly merges API and UI testing into one script. It's the ultimate, fully furnished smart home. So my ultimate question is, why is Selenium still here?
Oh.
If Playwright is so vastly superior on a modern architectural level, why hasn't it wiped Selenium off the map entirely? Are enterprise companies just being stubborn?
What's fascinating here is the sheer gravity of the Selenium ecosystem. It's not about stubbornness, it's about the reality of enterprise infrastructure and economics.
Mm-hmm.
Selenium has been the undisputed king of browser automation for over 15 years.
So it's woven into the fabric of everything.
Deeply woven. Imagine a massive global bank or a major airline that don't have 20 tests. They have 40,000 legacy Selenium tests written in Java or C Sharp. These tests are integrated into their massive CI pipelines, which for our learners is essentially the automated factory floor that takes code from a developer's laptop and safely deploys it to the public internet.
Ripping all of that out to chase a shiny new framework would be a logistical nightmare.
It would cost millions of dollars, require retraining hundreds of engineers, and halt new feature development for a year, all just to rebuild a testing suite that already technically works. It is an unjustifiable expense.
Right.
But beyond just legacy code, Selenium still holds a massive trump card in the enterprise space, and that is Selenium Grid.
The source material definitely emphasized Grid. What makes it so crucial for those big companies?
Selenium Grid is a masterclass in distributed execution. When you have 40,000 tests, you cannot run them on one laptop. It would take weeks.
Right.
You have to distribute them across a network. But you also need to test different environments. You need to know if the banking portal works on a Windows machine running an old version of Chrome, a Mac running Safari, and a Linux machine running Firefox.
All at the same time?
Yes. Selenium Grid is a central hub that acts as a traffic director. It connects to hundreds of different nodes, virtual machines running all those different operating systems and browsers. It seamlessly farms out thousands of tests across that entire massive network, orchestrating the whole thing perfectly.
Wow.
While Playwright has internal parallel testing, Selenium Grid is a deeply mature, battle-tested, industry-standard piece of architecture for massive, multi-environment distributed execution.
It really is the concrete foundation showing its structural strength, although I do have to bring up an old stereotype because I remember using Selenium years ago and setting up that foundation was brutal. Every time the Google Chrome browser automatically updated on my machine, my entire test suite would crash.
Yeah.
I'd have to go hunt down the specific new version of Chrome driver, download the executable, mess with my system path variables. It was incredibly frustrating. Mm-hmm. Has that been fixed, or is that still the cost of doing business with Selenium?
It was a very painful era for automation engineers, but the guide explicitly corrects this misconception for 2026. Modern Selenium has completely overhauled that experience with a tool called Selenium Manager.
Oh.
This is now built directly into the framework. When you run a test, Selenium Manager quietly checks your browser version, automatically reaches out to the internet, downloads the exact correct driver in the background, and manages the whole execution.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that old nightmare of manually downloading executables is completely outdated. Selenium has modernized its foundation.
So bringing all this technical architecture back down to earth, we want to focus directly on the listener's personal toolkit and their career trajectory. We're standing here in 2026. For the learner listening right now, someone who is at a crossroads trying to decide where to invest their time, what is the final verdict? Like, which path do they take?
It comes down to context and the environment you are entering. If you are tasked with building a new modern web automation project from scratch today, especially if your engineering team is already working in JavaScript or TypeScript, Playwright is undeniably the superior starting point.
Yeah.
The out-of-the-box experience, the auto-waiting, and the integrated debugging tools will get your team moving faster with far less friction.
The smart home is ready for move-in.
It is. However, if you are being hired into a large established enterprise, or you are joining a team that already has a vast existing QA infrastructure, Selenium is the practical business reality. It is the foundational language of enterprise quality assurance.
Right.
Therefore, the ultimate career advice for a learner isn't to pick a side in some imaginary Playwright versus Selenium war.
Because it's not a binary choice. It's not broken or not broken.
Exactly. The most valuable, highly sought after skill set in the industry right now is Playwright plus Selenium fundamentals.
I love that.
If you understand the modern high-speed capabilities of Playwright, but you also understand the underlying W3C WebDriver standard, how to construct a robust locator strategy, and how a tool like Selenium Grid orchestrates a network, you become an incredibly adaptable engineer. You understand the why behind the automation, not just the how.
That is fantastic advice. Playwright plus Selenium fundamentals, it makes you dangerous in a fast-paced startup and absolutely invaluable in an enterprise corporation.
Absolutely.
But you know, as we wrap up this deep dive, looking through all these comparisons about locators and DOM snapshots and waiting strategies, it got me thinking about where all of this technology is actually heading next.
This raises an important question.
It really does, because right now, both Playwright and Selenium, despite their massive architectural differences, share one fundamental weakness. They both rely entirely on predictable code structures.
Yes.
They both need locators. Even if Playwright is looking for an accessible login button and Selenium is looking for an HTML ID, they both need the structure of the page to be somewhat static and predictable. But we are rapidly moving toward an era of web applications that are being dynamically generated by artificial intelligence in real time.
A truly fluid, hyper-personalized user interface.
Yes. Imagine a web page where the layout, the buttons, the IDs, the entire visual hierarchy completely changes shape and optimizes itself every time a different user logs in based entirely on their unique behavioral data.
Wow, yeah.
If the underlying code is constantly shifting and the smart home rearranges its furniture every time you blink, how will rigid locator-based automation survive at all?
It's a profound thought. As the web evolves from structured code written by humans into dynamic AI-rendered experiences, the tools we use to verify them will have to evolve just as radically.
Exactly.
Will we need an entirely new paradigm of AI visual testing? Systems that don't read the DOM or look for locators at all, but simply look at the pixels on the screen like a human being, rendering both Playwright and Selenium, as we currently know them, completely obsolete.
It really challenges the very definition of what it means to automate a browser, something for everyone to chew on as they look at their own testing frameworks today. Keep exploring, keep questioning the foundation, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.